We're going to go right into our sermon, and I have a couple of things real quick to tell you about. Be the Church Report really was a blessing this past Wednesday night. About 25 people, Living Faithers, showed up. We went to the laundromats. We served about 3 laundromats in our area, in our zip code. We were able to help about, I would say, 10 families with laundry loads and gave them free soap, cookies for the kids. It's amazing how much people will receive love that need love in our community, right, everybody? Yes. Yeah, I can't get over that. Right before that, though, just to tell you some highlights, from 1 to 5 on our church property, a precious lady had it in her heart, Linda Ziegler, and she thought, what if we started clothing the people by giving them gently used clean clothes of our community and made them free? And so she did an outreach. It took about probably in her heart to all the way 6 months to a year, but she launched it for the first time. She had 3 precious ladies show up with her, 2 other precious ladies that showed up with her. And her and Edna that morning set up everything, and they stayed from 1 to 5. They served about 25 people also that came out, were loved. 10 families were reached, prayed for. Yeah, to God be the glory. Just see what God will do. It's going to just keep growing in the things of God. You can keep bringing clothes. See Linda, she's our point person for that, and we just thank God for that, right, everybody? To God be that. What a great day. Linda told me this later, just in a little quick text. She said, Pastor, it was a good day. Amen? Amen. See, you get that feeling when you serve God. And you give Him your best, right, everybody? Amen. There's nothing like a good day in Jesus, right? Thank God for your giving. You were able to make Laundry Love happen, our clothing ministry. Many of you brought your slightly closed. We outgrew them anyway, right, everybody? You're not going to miss them. The next thing that I need to ask you about is lunch today is happening right after our second worship, and I thank God for it. Every time we eat good at Living Faith. And so 21 days of prayer and fasting is over, right? So now we can eat. And so I want you to bring a large side dish back or bring it with you. Go pick it up. Churches is right down the corner. Not this church, but another church. Churches, right? Who's the pastor there, right? make sure that you go there and pick up a large side and bring it back. Or if you brought it, thank God, we always have the best cooks here at Living Faith Church. If you're staying for that, we need to get a count because of what we've done in buying the right amount of food. Last time we ran out of food, and that's no fun, right? Are y'all here with me? See, when pastor doesn't get to eat, he gets mean, amen? So make sure I get to eat today. So we want to make sure if you're going to stay for the second fellowship, no pressure, but just let me see your hands real quick. We'll do a quick count here. Our ladies are looking. We're looking. We're scanning the crowd. Do y'all get a visual on that? Yeah? All right. Good. All right. We got it. So good number. Make sure that you stay, and we're blessed to do it. We'll need help also. Welcome to Living Faith, faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we go. And the final slide is this. This is another one of those things that we need to count. We have a sign-up sheet right in the foyer. Man Up is tomorrow. You want to make sure that you show up at 7 p.m. Michael Jr., amen, on the big screen. He's a really great comedian for men. He'll be giving a manly message that will make our men happy and blessed. Amen. Happy men are happy people, right? And make sure you show up at 7 p.m. with me. I'll be overseeing that, and I'll be glad to meet all the mighty men of Living Faith. Right, everybody? But sign up so we know that you're coming, so we don't make enough. Again, I don't want to split my sandwich with you. Yes, amen? Do you have your message notes with you? If you need your message notes, raise your hand high. We have a couple of ushers that are willing and able to get you those 100%, 100%. You guys, look, praise God. You came in and you got it. All right, everybody? Sounds okay? Yeah? Still messed up? We're going to go ahead and use this microphone, I guess. This one's right here because of the distortion that's happening way too much. Is this one's turned on? We're good? Yes, there we are. All right, we'll fix it next week. Is that good with everybody? Yeah? Hey, you want to hear a funny joke? Yeah. Drunk Porfulio. Hey, Porfulio was a town drunk during this time, and he just was constantly getting into trouble as the guy that was always doing mishaps, a small town. Well, this was back in the day when people got baptized, they would go into the river, the pond that they had nearby. So the church is out there. They're all dressed in white. They're singing hymns. And here comes the town drunk Porfulio walking up into the baptism ceremony. And the preacher had had it. He had, you know, done so much to try to bring deliverance to Porfulio and try to lay hands so he wouldn't be drunk all the time. And, you know, Porfulio walks right into the water. All the saints are in there. It's just a sacred ceremony. So he grabs Porfulio, the preacher, and he goes, Porfulio, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you going to find Jesus today? And he says, and Porfulio's, you know, just kind of buzzing still. And he goes, yeah, I think I, so he says, get ready. So he baptizes him, says, and he brings him back up. He holds him and he brings him back up. He says, did you find Jesus, Porfulio? Porfulio goes, no. And he puts him back down and he holds him back a little bit longer. Bubbles are coming up out of his mouth. He brings him back. But did you find Jesus, brother? Porfulio says, no. And before he can even say no, he knows, he puts him back down and he holds him back for 30 seconds, trying to just keep him down there and trying to cast out all the demons out of him. He brings him back up and he goes, Porfulio, did you find Jesus, my brother? He says, I don't think he fell in here. He was looking around with his eyes open, right? Yeah. I want to speak to you today, and as you see the first slide, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it look like? What does Jesus expect? I'm sure you're going to ponder that throughout the day right now, because I want to bring you to that realization as you look at your notes with me. Ponder it, and there's going to be many answers. You'll have them. There's different churches that will give you many answers. I'd like to look at the Bible. How about you, right? I can give you an opinion as a church, but if we look at the Bible today, what's expected of those that follow Jesus today? We live in a generation of really personal convenience, and that we like things on Facebook and we unlike them, and we can do it very quickly just by a click of the mouse. We can give our opinion and comment, and it really doesn't cost us anything. We're in the easy boy or the lazy boy on our laptop or punching it away on our phone, and really it costs us nothing. I like doing Twitter because they say it's the manly social media, because you do less words. On Facebook, you can go, man, just extreme, lots of talking on Facebook, lots of words. There's no limit, right? And so they always say Facebook's for ladies and Twitter's for men, but that's another story, and I don't want to get into that. I'll get into that during the relationship series, right, everybody, in February. And so following Jesus is really not casual. It's not a click. It's a commitment. And it's not something I can easily do. And we get that way because we get warped on our commitments sometimes. You say, well, it looks like this, like and unlike. No, it's not about that. It should cost you something. The song that we sang at the very end that Leno led so beautifully, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, it comes from a story of an Indian man that received Christ. A Welsh missionary went to preach the gospel. The first convert was this Indian man in the 19th century. And his whole family got saved. And so they came to him, and the chieftain came and says, you need to deny Christ. They were very Hinduish, Hindu religion. And he says, if you deny Christ, we won't kill you. And this is where the song was birthed in that village. He said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And the Hindu chieftain said this, look, we really mean this. And they grabbed his wife, and they put the knife to her throat. He said, though none go with me, still I will follow. And they cut her throat right in front of him. And she died right there. And he says, now we have you. And they had him by the neck, and they were going to kill him. He says, I will give him all I have. And though none go with me, still I will follow. And they cut his neck. And his last words were those words. And they made this beautiful song about it. Well, now, what's commitment? If you look at it like that, I remember we would sing that song in my church at Victory Chapel. I was a teenager, and it was a song, it was an anthem for us, and we would make our commitment. Billy Graham Crusades would have this song, and they would sing it. George Beverly Shea would sing the song so beautiful, and thousands would come out of the off the grandstands when Billy would preach those stadium-packed salvation sermons, and people would come and they would sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And all the people would come because they were making a commitment and they weren't turning back today. Amen. We go to Jesus today and we follow Jesus. And I want us to go to the next level and move towards God. All of us in this room today can take a more serious step and can take a more sobering step on what God has for us today. It should be serious to follow Jesus today. You might say, well, I'm not going to get water baptized today, so I'm kind of going to cruise. I'm going to park the mode here. I'm going to go in neutral today. This is a message also for you today, because when people get baptized, it's not only a one thing, it's a community thing. Do you understand that today? because we invite the community. We're all witnesses today. We're making a public declaration together of who Jesus is, and we're showing the world today within a church who Jesus is today. So our leader, our Savior, our boss really gave us marching orders, and he gave us this great commission. And if we recall the words of Jesus before he left, not in your notes, but on the big screen, Matthew 28:19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that word baptism is baptizo. It's a Greek word for really, somebody say drown. It means that you're to drown that person. And that may, but we're not going to do that today, but fully immersed. That drowning would happen, that they would go down and the old man would literally die. That old guy that is full of habits, wrongdoing. Well, but when he rises, the new man or that new person comes up. So literally we're drowning the old man today, the fully immersing baptism of that today. And so the where it says, somebody say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It should really read, the Greek would say, into the name of the Son, into the name of the Father, into the name of the Holy Spirit. Because we're really giving allegiance now that we're not buying into something, and it's not buy, but we're into the name of Jesus. We're into the name of the Father. We're into the name of the Holy Ghost, right, everybody? And that's the first mode of discipleship, really. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, where the Father identifies us, our Heavenly Father, the Son. We walk with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit resides within us today. And so our leader, Jesus told us, man, practice this. Do this baptism if you're a follower of me, and be baptized today. I have decided to follow Jesus. It's a major thing that we do in our lives, and so I want you to take the next step. Right in your handout, there's a scripture, Luke 9:23. Are you there with me? Yeah, why don't we say it together on three, not out soft. Come on, media audience right now. You're even saying it right now together. We're declaring it together. One, two, three, go. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself daily. Yeah, and it's a daily thing. It's a daily journey. It's not just this one-time thing. We would walk with Jesus every day. Sunday morning, I'm not just going to date Jesus at Living Faith. It's going to mean something to me on Monday. It's going to mean something to me on the end of the week, at my workplace, in my home. I'm going to walk with Jesus, not only in the church house. When we look at the cross right there, that beautiful word of cross, we would think, well, it's a piece of jewelry. James Avery makes them awesome, doesn't he? Yeah. Yeah, he makes a lot of money off you, doesn't he? Yeah, and the piece of jewelry that would hang, it's made something beautiful. But when Jesus spoke of this 2,000 years ago into the Judean audience that they were hearing, the Jewish people, it meant something completely different than our ears, because anything that Jesus touches, he blesses. Anything that's cursed is reversed, right? And the curse of the cross was a torture instrument. The cross was a place of annihilation, that you were going to be battered, you were going to die. And so it would read, if anybody's going to come after me, Jesus was telling his hearers 2,000, he must deny himself. And he's going to take up his instrument of death, his torture instrument daily. He's going to get crucified. He's going to get punished. He's going to get whipped. And he's going to eventually die if he wants to follow me. And so they would go, what? You know, not me, you know. It's literally, instead of wearing a cross around your neck, why don't you put a gas chamber around your neck? Why don't you put a lethal injection needle around your neck that's gold? Or put a electric chair around your neck? That's what it is. That's what you're literally saying when you walk with a cross, right, everybody? Keep wearing the cross. It's beautiful. I'm not preaching bad doctrine, right, everybody? The crux of the cross is this. Is it going to be about me? Me, 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 and life is so centered about me? Or is it going to be about following Jesus? Jesus, I'm following you. You tell me what to do, and I'll do it today because you become my master, my Lord today. All of us lose our life. Did you know that? I'm not encouraging you. Come on, preacher, tell me something happy. Yeah, doctors die. The guy that's giving you the prescription and trying to make you live a little bit longer and tell you to lose 20 pounds and all that, yeah, he's going to die. People that are into health food die. Organic stuff, they just die with a nasty taste in their mouth. Everybody dies, right? We all die. This life isn't really about this life. Did you know that? And the more that we bank on this life, the more that we get disappointed. And thank God for heaven coming to earth. But the life that we live isn't really for this life. It's for the life that we're living right now, that God would get into us so much that we would have heaven on this earth right now for a moment. But the big prize is coming for us. I want you to take the next step. There's a thought I put down that I want you to look at on the big screen. And it says this, from no commitment to total commitment. And I want you to take a step today. If you're in the audience, in this room, no commitment whatsoever, then have a total commitment. It's a scale. Where are you at? From consumer to contributor. I'm from being a taker, I'm going to be a giver in all aspects today. You're in this room, God's speaking to you. From Savior, because that's when Jesus gave us the fire insurance, right? Yeah, I got saved and I'm not going to hell. I'm happy, right? But I wanted to turn into Lord, because Lord is this way. Now, Lord, it's not about you helping me. It's about God. What can I do to accomplish the mission that you have for me, your mission for my life today? Yeah, it's good to serve the Lord. As I lead you as a shepherd, as the pastor of Living Faith, I'm going to take you to some green grass today, and you're going to enjoy it. It's a committed place, but we get to enjoy where we're at, the pasture, the field. Amen today, amen. Many of you, the reason why I'm preaching this sermon and teaching this special Sunday is this, because you've come to know Christ as Savior, but I want you to go into Lordship, and I'm about to tell you how to do that in the act of obedience of being water baptized today, and you're going to be blessed to do it. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, on the big screen or in your handout, those that accepted his message were baptized. Somebody say 3,000. They were added to the number of that day. 3,000 people immediately, first response, they received Jesus. They didn't wait for 3 months till the baptism tank got full. By the way, it's right behind us. We're going to move this stuff in a moment. They didn't wait until the weather got warm. They didn't wait till they went by the riverside. Where can we go? Let's find the Jordan River. Let's get into that murky water. Let's get baptized today. It was the book of Acts is a book of action. Do you get that? Acts action? Because they immediately obeyed God. It's movement. It's going this way, that way. Let's get baptized. Let's find a body of water and immediately get it spontaneous. If you were baptized as a child, you say, I got you covered, preacher. I've already gotten baptized. If you were baptized as an infant like I was in the church that we went to at that time, well, they dressed me in this little nice white suit. There's pictures of it. Yeah, I think I had a little bow tie. I was kind of cute as a kid, right? And then I had my godfather and my madrina, amen, and they held me and they took pictures of me like that with my mom and dad in front of the church. And I remember my madrina, she only got me Christmas 1 year, amen. And after that, she forgot she had a godson, right, everybody? How many had a madrina that was cold-blooded like mine was, right? Anyway, that was beautiful. My parents have pictures. They recorded the event. But you know what's unbiblical about that? I didn't know that I was a sinner. I was a baby. I didn't know I had done anything wrong. Right? And so everybody in the Bible that got water baptized, they knew that they were sinners. That's why they were going into the water as people of sin, and they were coming up new people. Right, everybody? And so we can realize that as beautiful as that christening was, it happened to you as a child, I want you to walk with Jesus now as an adult. Realize that we're sinners saved by grace. Right, everybody? And so thank God for it today, amen. Traditions, amen, they're beautiful today, but let's follow the Acts pattern today. You came in dry, but you can leave wet today. Give me a good amen. Yeah, and we'll show you that. I want to give you three reasons not to live by convenience today, but live by conviction today. And if you live by conviction, we're following Christ today. So these are three reasons that you should be water baptized. Number one, to follow the example set by Christ today. It's a pattern of Jesus. He was baptized. Jesus was a sinner? No, he wasn't. But he wanted us to behave like him, to act like him, so much so that he was obedient to be water baptized as the most perfect man, so he could show us as Christians, Christ-like followers, you behave like me. And because you get dunked, you're going to behave differently now. You're not going to come up the same guy, same woman. Amen today.
And so then he baptized people. The Bible tells us Jesus baptized people. Then his disciples baptized people and so forth today. And so Paul learned of this as the early church follower of Jesus. And he says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And so we want to act like Jesus. We want to behave like Jesus. We want to do what Jesus said. In 1 John 2:4, it's a powerful scripture here because it's the seriousness of the cross and what it means to follow Christ today. It says this, some may say I'm a Christian and on my way to heaven, I follow Jesus. I go to Living Faith Church. I'm a member there. I belong to Christ. But if he doesn't do what Christ tells him to do, is it okay to say that in church? He is a liar today. And the seriousness of the cross is this. Jesus is telling each of us in this room, hey, man, I went to the cross. I died. I bled. I was tortured on that cross. I died for your sins. And all I'm asking you is to follow me in obedience to get into water and to get fully immersed, and we're going to bring you back up. What a trade-off. I think I can do that if my Lord told me to do that, right? How about you? I don't think it's too much for him to ask me that I'm going to have to not be nailed on a cross, but I'm going to get into a water baptism tank to show that the old man has died and the new man is rising, right, everybody? I think I could do that today. Water baptism is just a public declaration of what is taking place on the inside of my heart, and I'm showing the world Jesus is in my heart now, and he lives within me, and I want the whole world to know about it today, right? Does the water baptism, does it save you? No. I'm helping you with the hard ones. Amen? No. Remember when the thief was on the cross next to Jesus, those two thieves? Jesus, the most perfect man. One of the thieves, he's saying, if you're the Savior, if you're really it, come get us off this cross. Do a miracle right now. We're suffering up here. The other thief, his heart is tender, and he does something like this. He said, can't you see that this is an innocent man? Shut up. We belong here, man. We've done wrong things, but he doesn't deserve it. And then he shouts back at Jesus. He says, hey, Jesus, remember me when you go into paradise today. And Jesus tells him, today you'll be in paradise with me. Now, immediately, did that man get baptized when he came off the cross? No, he died on that cross. He went to heaven. So baptism doesn't save you. But now that you have the opportunity that you're not on the cross, you should be baptized because nobody's nailed to a cross in this room. Right, everybody? Yeah? So the baptism, I'm going public. I belong to Jesus. The second thought is this, to demonstrate my changed life. It's an outward expression of what takes place in my heart. Water baptism is the wedding band of Christianity. 26 years ago, I went to an altar, and my pastor came and said, Mario, do you take Irma to be your wife, for better or for worse, and so forth? And I said, yes, I do. Amen. And so I put the ring on her finger. She put the ring on. And this just shows that I belong to her. It's the wedding. Water baptism is that. That you belong to Jesus. It shows the world, right, everybody? And so I belong to her. She has her ring. She belongs to me. Amen. And you can't touch this. Amen. You don't want to touch this, right? I don't want to touch that. So just the symbol of that. And it's when I would maybe go home and I'd go in my garage and put the garage door down and say, I got a little place for this, so I'm just going to, put it on when I get home so she can see. And, when I go out, I'm going to put it back in the garage and hide it. And then when I'm out all day and, doing what I'm doing, I'm not going to wear my ring. Well, if she found out about it, what would happen? There'd be some fur flying, amen, when I came. I wear it because it's a symbol of my commitment towards her. It's not biblical. It's not in the Bible, but it just, water baptism is that precious symbol of the wedding ring that you're not going to just date Jesus conveniently. You're going all in. You're going to decide to follow. It's a commitment. Do you understand that today? Amen? Amen. The early church, there was these celebrations that the grand generation, our grandfathers in this room, they would go to a river and they would put the old clothes over the white, shiny clothes, the robes that they would have that were so white. They would put tattered, dirty clothes on over the clean clothes. And when they would go in, they wouldn't get dunked this way. They would go down this way. And they would, and while they were down, they would have to move fast. They would undo the old clothes. And as the river, they would float up, and the river would take those dirty clothes down the stream. Because it would show that my old life is gone and the new life has begun. It's a beautiful pit. What if we did that in the San Antonio River? Amen. You think the river cops would catch us, right, everybody? You're constantly changing. You're becoming more and more like Jesus. In 1977, my pastor taught us about water baptism in that small church off Escuela Street. And we sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. And he took us to this place called Riverside. It's close to New Braunfels. I remember I got in a car. I was like 13 or 14. I don't remember that age. And we drove. Before that, here's what was happening in my house, though. My mom and dad, they meant well. But I was going to this new church. See, we used to go to the church only on really Easter, Christmas. You know my story. Maybe if somebody died or had the wedding, we would go. We would do the sign of the cross and all that stuff. But we never really were committed to anything. And then so they started hearing that I was going to get baptized, water baptized. My sister opened her big mouth. And they told me, no. I remember my mom. She told me in Spanish. I can't repeat her words, amen, because there were some curse words, amen. Love you, mama. And she said, you're not going to do that. You've already been baptized as a child. You got water baptized. I said, well, if I had one, why don't I have a marina and a godfather? She said, well, no, you're not going to get baptized. You've already done that. And it was like a no, no, no. It was a firm no from mom. How many know mamas can tell you no? I went back to my pastor crying, and I said, hey, you know, this is going on in my house. I'm being persecuted. And he said, Mario, all I can tell you is, I'm supposed to honor my mom and daddy. I knew much of the Bible, right? He said, all I can tell you is, you get ready by faith. You keep moving forward. You get ready by faith. We still have 2 weeks left. You keep praying. You keep hoping. And on that day, God will make a way if it's meant you're going to be baptized. Don't disobey your parents, but God will make a way. And I remember that day they came to pick me up, and I got all dressed up. I brought my clothes with me and all that stuff to go to Riverside. We're going to have a picnic afterwards. And I walked out of the house, man. Nobody stopped me. Amen. I think maybe they were hungover or something, but nobody stopped me, man. I went on, and when I got into the water was so cold at Riverside that day, the river. And I remember going in, and there was this line, and my pastor got me, and he was so happy that I was going to be baptized. And I remember just at that moment when I went under, there was this water moccasin that went by. And he lifted me up, and I looked over, and there was that water. And I think that water moccasin, that snake came out of me. Mira la vida. He went like, and anyway, we stayed still, amen. But a snake came out, man. I don't know what was going on with that, amen. At the perfect time, right, everybody? There's a picture of an old man and a new man right here in 1 Peter 3:21. In baptism, we show, it's a wedding ring. I'm just not going to date Jesus on Sunday morning. That we've been saved from death, doom, by the resurrection of Christ. Not because our bodies are washed clean by the water, but because baptism, we're turning to God and asking him to cleanse our hearts from what? Sin. Yeah, you go in, we're dirty, we rise up, we're clean because of the inner working of the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful video that we have. We're going to show that to you quickly. And as we watch it, just see another beautiful illustration of what water baptism is. And we'll be water baptizing in just a few moments here. Thank God for it today.
Baptism is symbolic of what Jesus did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. Being lowered in the water represents our old life dying. Just like Jesus was dead and buried, who we were and what we've done is dead. Our past and future sins are forgiven. When we are raised out of the water, We are reminded our new life is made possible because of Jesus' resurrection. We are a new creation. Today, we celebrate as people take their next step and tell the world how Jesus has brought them from death to life. We celebrate because they have a new life in Jesus. They have been made brand new. They are forgiven. They are a new creation.
Amen. I want you to take the next step. Finally, number three is this. You declare my commitment. To declare my commitment, somebody shout publicly. It's a big deal to God. When we've seen all these verses to the degree of what his commitment was towards us, God is saying, you know what? I went public for you. I sent my son publicly on a cross, the one that was the prince of heaven, all the way down to this fallen earth, and he died, and now you can go public for me. Again, the exchange what weighs out more? A human dying on the cross, or you going into water if you haven't gone into water to show that? In Matthew 10:32, on the big screen, or on the right there in your message notes, let's read this. I believe our last scripture, right? We can read it out loud, out strong. 1, 2, 3, go. Whomever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before the Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him. That is pretty powerful, right? I don't want to be found in that camp today, amen. Well, I'm maybe ashamed to do it. Well, maybe then you shouldn't be a follower of Jesus, because it's pretty plainly my faith is real private. I'm private with my faith. No, everybody that Jesus called in the Bible, it's not only private. He tells you you pray in your prayer closet private. That's good. Yeah, I want you to do that for hours. But when he says your faith, it's this city. It's this light. And it lights up a whole house. You set it on a hill so everybody can see it. Right, everybody? And that's what faith is. It's a public thing that I'm doing out loud, not out soft today. Amen? You're obedient to it today. In the first century, as I take you back again, Jewish Christians, because they were obeying these 400 and something laws of the Old Testament, they were very ritual. They were very religious. Jesus came along and obeyed every single one of them. He did them. He did them. He was our Savior. He did them perfectly. And so what happened was they were still living under that law. Jesus came. Jesus changed people's lives. The early church was born, but there was still a remnant of people wanting to do the ruts and the religion and the regulations, and they were buried by law, and they couldn't have any relationship with Christ. And so they were obeying Jesus by water baptism, and they didn't have a baptism tank that's real nice with heated water that has a pump in it that does all the nice things that we got. Thank God we got one now, right? In the middle of January today, so... And so they would go by the Jordan River, which isn't really nice. It's really just a bunch of mud. It's a muddy river, and it's stagnant. And they would go and do it publicly because they were obeying Jesus, just like I've taught you today. They wanted the whole world to see that they were going the way of Jesus and they were obeying. And so anyone could come out. And so they would have these business owners that had found Jesus. They would call it the way, or in the name of. The one that's in the name of, they're following him, that Jesus. And they would go get baptized. And the business owners would stand at the hill, and they would see the Jordan River, and they would see these people. And they would go like this: look, if he gets into that water and gets baptized and does that with that group, I'm never going to buy anything from him again, because they're not obeying our laws. They're not doing what we're supposed to do. If my child goes in there, we're going to disown him. We're not going to speak to him again. We're not going to put him in the inheritance. He's taken out of the will today. And that was the cost of what they did during the early church, because what it cost them on what they did to obey Christ today. Right, everybody? That's why we're here today, because the foundations of great people like that, that lived for Christ out loud and outside of the box, outside of the four walls of living faith, right, today? I'd like to make it a little bit easier for you. I've known Irma for 28 years. 26 years ago, we got married. So I love her so much. One day at the AT&T Center, the Spurs are playing the Warriors, and the Spurs are burying, man. They just have this great defense. The AT&T, I mean, it's rocking. This Coyote shooting T-shirts, boom, you know, out in there. We're grabbing T-shirts. Are y'all with me today? I'm the only one having fun, amen. You ever been to a game? And so, but I sneak down and I grab the mic that they sang the national anthem on. And I go, hey, everybody, my name is Mario Nava. And I just want to tell my bride of 26 years, Irma Nava, that I love her. And she's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I just want to tell her I love her from the bottom of my heart. Baby, I love you. Baby, you know, do something like that. Well, as they carried me away, the security, she would go, oh, you know. And so when I finally got out of jail, she bailed me out. She would say, Stud Muffin, you didn't have to do all that. You didn't have to say all that in front of all the people. I go, baby, I wanted the whole world to know how much I love you. I wanted the whole world to know. I didn't care. I don't care who knows that I love you. I don't care I made a fool of myself, that I got in jail. I don't care any of that. I just wanted the whole world that I know how much I love you. And that's what you do when you get baptized. You let the whole world know that you love Jesus. I'm going to make a fool out of my... No, you're not. You're going to be bold for Christ. Amen. Amen. You got another argument. Well, I would get baptized, but I didn't bring any clothes. I got you there, Pastor. No. Here's what we did. We love you so much that the people of living faith made sure. And if we don't have enough, we're going to go to Dollar General and buy some for you. That's how committed we are to you. So many of the people of living faith, they brought things like we brought, like this example. They have a clean T-shirt for you. And being a one-handed mic is a little bit challenging, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. They brought a clean T-shirt. Amen. You're going to look so good when you wear this if this is your bag. Amen. They brought shorts that are clean and they're dark. Amen. They brought even, so, well, how am I going to, well, they brought you even a clean towel. Isn't that beautiful? Because they believed in you enough that you would respond, that by faith they brought something that you wouldn't have an excuse and just say, I can't get baptized today. I don't have any clothes. No, you're coming in. Amen. Amen. You might be dry now, but you can be wet. Give me a good amen, amen. For the Lord. Amen. Today. Amen. Yeah. Well, I wanted my family to be here. Well, here's how I can solve that. Why don't we go Facebook Live on this thing? When we start baptizing on our thing, that will be on Facebook all day long or forever. I mean, it's recorded. We'll get the camera up close, our camera, and we'll just film it. Isn't that incredible? The whole world will see that you love Jesus today. And it'll be on Facebook Live. We'll take pictures. We'll do a photo story. We'll give you a beautiful membership certificate that you say, I got water baptized. We'll sign that thing for you, right? Make you official today. It's your day today to be water baptized in the name of Jesus. Right, everybody? Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. 2017 is still young, as you're still right now. It's a fresh year. It's the year of our Lord. It's not our year. It's his year today. And so you've never gone public for Jesus. You've been dating him only. And this is the moment that you say, I do. I commit my life today. Make this declaration of faith if you mean it in your heart. Everybody, make this declaration of faith with your mouth out loud. Amen. I have no problem. Come on, say it like you mean it. I have no problem in letting people know that I am a follower of Christ. Yes, Lord. Yeah, you heard your people. Thank you, Lord. No one forced them to say it, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're in this house as you stand in attitude of prayer, and you've never received Christ as your Savior. You're far away from God. You need to rededicate your life to him. If your heart were to stop in the next few moments, eternity waits for no man. I want you to be sure of your eternal presence with the Lord today. And you can do that. He came to rescue you right now. God forbid any of us get into a car accident. I don't want that upon anybody. But again, we're involved in an accident that takes our life. Again, eternity waits for no man. This is serious right now. I want you to receive Christ as your Savior. Not for the fire insurance like I did when I was a kid, but I fell in love with Jesus shortly thereafter. I loved his commands. I wanted my life to change. Yeah, and you can do the same way. Jesus loves you. He has a plan for your life. You're in this room today as your heads are bowed, no one looking around, and you're saying, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I'm far away. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will note your hand. I'll lead you in a prayer. You'll say it in your seat. We'll say it from the platform, but we'll lead you in that. If that's anybody, would you lift your hand high and say, that's me. I want to come to Christ. Don't be ashamed. You're young in this room. You're a child. You know what I'm saying right now. You're a mature person. Say yes to Jesus. Is that anybody in the house right now? Anybody? Just making sure. Yes. Amen. I saw your hand. Amen. Yes. Yeah. There was a hand over there. Yes. Two. Then thank you guys for helping me. Someone else. The benefit of the two right now that said yes to Christ, all the sinners, that includes me, the chief sinner, we lead this prayer right now. We say it out loud, loud enough that we can hear it in our own ear, loud enough that you can hear it. The two that lifted your hand, you need to pray this. The two that lifted their hand, you pray it loud enough, okay? Make sure that he prays it, amen? Let's pray this together. Father in heaven, receive my prayer. Jesus died on the cross for me. I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace. At this very moment, wash away my sins, Jesus. Make me new. Thank you, Lord. I have a new beginning. I have a fresh start. Jesus is mine. I am his. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For the two that lifted their hand, I want you to go public. There's no reason why you should not be baptized today. Immediately follow Jesus. Follow the Lord in obedience and baptism. Amen. I'll give you some instructions as we're closing out the service. We want to worship God in our giving. We'll come back up and do some closing things that we need to do because we're going to eat together. We're also going to have a baptism ceremony in the middle of that, and that's going to be beautiful. But today, as we receive our tithe and offering today, by the way, if you receive Christ today, would you fill out that connection card, rededicated your life? It's in front of you somewhere. You have to reach a little bit, some of you on the ends, but make sure you get a connection card. Tell me what you've done. Growing in Faith is a class that meets at 9 a.m. every Sunday, and I pray that you would go to that class if you're a young believer, if you want some things reaffirmed in your life. Howard and Sonia are right here on the front row. They'll give you information about that, and it's our form of just learning the truths of God. Plug yourself into that class next week. Is that good? Yes? Let's celebrate the two that that came to Christ. Come on. Give them a mighty, mighty clap. Come on. You can do better than that. Yeah. 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 Amen. Our tithe and offering, amen, is a holy time. It's a sacred time. We worship God in our giving. You can keep playing.